This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David.
Hello, and I'm Pastor Barry.
Oh, it's so good to be back with you.
It is.
We are tonight or today. I know, or we get confused.
This morning and tonight.
I know it sounds like, what are those guys doing? You know, what are they on? Well, no, we're on being old, but no, we're not that old. We're recording it in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's going to play, we know, in the morning and evening. So anyway, tonight's theme, this is one we've touched on it before. We're into our second year of broadcasting this program, which is really kind of cool.
We were just kids when we started.
I know we were.
Yeah.
We age quickly in this business. But anxiety, issues of, the do not be anxious stuff. Barry's going to read from Matthew. The theme, and listen to this, because this is what we're hoping will help. In the midst of cultural chaos, keep your eyes and heart on the Lord. Mm. That's very critical. If you don't think we're in the midst of cultural chaos, then you're living in the mammoth cave system in Kentucky and have not come out in several years. So I hope that's not the case.
Well, I have scripture here, David.
Would you read that, please?
It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Mm, amen, amen.
Wow.
Yeah. You probably read that several thousand times in your life.
But it's
right?
Amazing how it always puts things into perspective.
Yes.
You know, we run around, wringing our hands and worrying and trying to make plans for this and plans for that. And we buy insurance for everything.
Yeah, really.
We don't want to, but we do. And yet here's Jesus is saying, in essence, cool it. Trust God.
Cool
Look
it.
What he's done all around you. Look around you. Look what he's done for beings and things that are less value of you than you.
Yeah.
And this is another portion of our human existence where Satan kind of gets in there and says, I can get in there and I can get them to worry so much they're going to get holes in their stomachs and I'm going to call it an ulcer. We get frightened. We're like kids sometimes. But going all the way back to the previous programs, he's talking about trusting him.
Yes.
Again.
Again. Yeah.
Again. Trust me. And it's very difficult being a human being and trusting God when all this chaos is flying all around you. When I was a kid, David, I lived in a very chaotic household. in many ways, not just the noise level, but food. Now they call it food insecurity. I think that's cute. We were hungry and we're starving, but yeah, right, food insecurity, yeah, money insecurity, you name it. And we had a church up in Long Island that we would all, it was walking distance. And even as a nine-year-old kid, I knew that if I went into those doors, they would always be open. And I knew when I closed the doors that I had just closed the doors on the chaos of the world. Because I tell you, David, chaos scares kids.
It does.
They may say they don't want a discipline and rules and regulations, but there's a comfort level for kids with that. You give a kid a chaotic day and they're going to not sleep well that night.
Yes.
Because it scares them. And we're pretty much all kids anyway.
Older kids,
gray-haired kids over here, but chaos is scary. Just ask the people in Ukraine right now; they're living in the middle of chaos. And I saw something on the news a few months ago that right in the trenches where these guys were manning their guns, and there are Ukrainian soldiers, but there's also Ukrainian male civilians that have been pressed into service.
Mm.
And some of them look like us, David. I think they went right up into the 60s. Yeah, you look pretty good here. This is a rifle. This is a trigger. Good luck.
Yeah.
And
the bullet comes out of this end, yeah, so don't stand in front of it. Yep, yep.
So they show these guys, and it was an, I don't know who was filming this, but it was an actual firefight.
Mm-hmm.
And running through the trench was a painfully thin, older Orthodox priest, and he was running from soldier to soldier praying with them.
Mm.
And they would take a break from firing, accept the prayer, the blessing, communion, whatever else he had to offer, and he move on to the next guy.
Mm.
But what I found interesting in this, and maybe the world missed it, I hope they didn't, but each fellow, when he put his rifle down, he took his hat off or helmet off and faced the priest. Mm. And there was a look of peace on their face for that fraction of a second, for that moment,
yeah,
and then went back to the chaos of war. I take my hat off to that little priest going through there. We don't know what happened to him. Never hear the rest of the story.
Mm-mm.
But in the midst of all this chaos, he was keeping their eyes on the kingdom.
Amen.
And that's the only thing that's going to give them comfort and peace.
Yes.
In a situation like that. My grandfather used to tell stories about World War One, where when they first got there, they were all cocky, you know. Mm. And they see the guys coming back from the trenches that had been there for I don't know how long. And Grandpa would say that he called them walking dead.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had been through it. And that's when the guys would take off their helmet and they would accept the blessing from the chaplain if they had one there. And a prayer.
Mm.
You grow up quick as a Christian in the trenches.
And
that chaos.
And because we know that spiritual warfare is going all over the place, that everywhere you are as a Christian is a trench.
It's
if you
not
don't
just
know
war,
that, that's dangerous for
that's
you.
That's right. Because, you know, cultural chaos is a war. And if you're not equipped, you're going to get yourself hurt out there. Because people will go at you and tear you down and either publicly humiliate you for being one of those sappy Christians and on it goes. Because they're involved with the chaos. They're involved with the noise. They're involved with the bad decision making that's going on out there. It's a spiritual war.
It is. And it unfortunately, and sometimes it manifests in the natural.
Mm.
You know, for instance, the devil doesn't like truth. He really doesn't, because he's a liar.
Right.
So he doesn't do the truth. But beyond that, he doesn't want you to do the truth.
Right.
And so we now have in America this cancel culture that every time they can, they shut people up who are telling the truth.
And how do they shut them up? They call them, haters?
Yeah,
hate judgmental speech. Yeah, hate speech, judgmental, condemning people. It's a whole lot of different words that they use.
Oh yeah, and if you're a social media platform, you just shut them down.
Yeah,
and this is the thing, is that we have this thing. We talked about the Constitution. I hope you guys buy a copy of it and read it.
Mm-hmm.
And the First Amendment, the very First Amendment, is freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it's freedom of religion, not freedom of worship. Okay, there's a difference.
Right.
It's what, you know, we are supposed to, and in this country, one of the great things about being this republic under a constitution is that, yeah, I believe one way, and if somebody else believes another way, well, we probably don't agree theologically, but it's legal for them to believe that way.
Right.
Now,
you shouldn't cancel them. They have the right to say what they're going to say and do what they're going to do.
And, you know, I can disagree with them, and mm-hmm. I do. Sometimes I'm able to talk about that. In fact, in some great environments, we can explore our beliefs, talk about them, right. Say, I want to understand why you believe the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. But in a cancel culture like this, they completely ignore the fact we have a right to express our opinion and speak the truth. And yes, they have a right to disagree with us, but that right does not give them the power to shut us up. It doesn't. But you see what's happening. This is part of the chaos,
mm-hmm.
that there has been given authority. The devil has, and the people that serve him have taken, they haven't been given it. They've taken the authority. And then the people that could have a say, like maybe the church, roll over and play dead.
Yes.
You know, and that's not right either.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that where our anxiety comes from.
Well, anxiety is across the board because you got that going on. You've got your human nature that will have you get angry, goaded into a fight, and then they can turn around and say, did you see what that Christian did?
Yeah.
He got into a fight with that fella. So much for him being all about love and forgiveness. You know, darned if you do and darned if you don't, you know, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry, go ahead.
They'll want to paint you into a corner.
Yeah.
And I want to know why they're so angry.
Well,
why are they so angry, David?
And this gets back to what we're talking about tonight, about keep your eyes and ears on the Lord, mm-hmm. and do not be anxious. They're angry because they don't have an answer. You know, they tell you that they do,
mm-hmm.
and if you listen to their narrative, there's no answer in that.
No.
But when you tell the truth, and basically you're saying, I'm poking holes in your narrative, which is like a lie,
mm-hmm.
well, they can't come up with anything to counter you because their narrative is a lie. And so they go right from, you know, saying their piece and you telling them the truth, they go right to yelling, screaming, at the worst case, you know, setting cities on fire and
right.
burning police cars and stuff like that because, wow, you know, what's that? You know, that's anger. But you know what? The heart of it is fear. It's fear and anxiety.
Fear that they could be wrong.
I think it's more fear that they know they're wrong.
Yeah.
At the heart of it all, you know, when people are afraid, all right, that's not a comfortable feeling, is it?
Right.
And because they're afraid, eventually they get angry. Anger is the child of fear,
mm-hmm.
not the other way around. And so they're afraid, they don't have an answer, and they don't know what to do. You come along with the truth, but they don't want to hear the truth because their narrative is important to them.
Mm-hmm.
They believe, well, this magical thinking, if you will, to say, well, their narrative, and we're talking, you know, I can refer to what a certain segment of our population is saying about things that they believe in.
Mm-hmm.
There's no basis in truth. There's no science. It's all in the opposite direction. So when you stand up, for instance, I catch Ben Shapiro occasionally.
Okay.
You know, I mean, he's a young Orthodox Jewish man who is a conservative.
Right.
And he's a truth teller. And he's popular. I mean, he goes to college campuses. And he's always challenged by folks that are on the other side of his belief system. And in one issue of someone really trying to get him to say that the whole, you know, the gender issue is fluid, you know, And I mean, he just comes back and he says, he says, I am not going to believe a fantasy. I'm not going to build my life on it. He said, biologically, scientifically, there are only two genders, a male and a female.
Right.
And anything else is your imagination. And he said, I'm not going to let your imagination rule my life, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, he's standing up and saying that. That's truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is everybody else? Where are the truth tellers? People say, I know the truth. I know God. I know Jesus.
Oh, it should come from the pulpit.
It should come from the pulpit, exactly.
Right.
You know, are you talking to your pastor about the sermons you need to hear? You know,
yeah.
We're talking about, there'd be less anxiety in the church. We're talking about what Jesus is saying. If, verse 33, we're held up, and it should be held up anyway, as something that we should have written on a plaque and put on our wall, we can see it, is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. All the things you want, need, hope for, hunger for.
Mm-hmm.
If first you seek first the kingdom of God.
It should be on every bumper as a bumper sticker.
Every bumper. Yeah. And at that point, what are you seeking? You're seeking Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is God. And you know, God is, you know, the kingdom of God is God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a separate place he built like Disney World. It's God. Seek God. And how do we do that? The best way is we can seek God, we can find him, we can meet him in Jesus, because that's what Jesus said about himself.
That's right.
And so that, when we do that, then, and his righteousness, which we receive when we invite him into our lives, he brings that to us. All these things will be added to you. What are all those things? What are the things that you're afraid of right now? That you're anxious about? I mean, there's a list so long that we could do this for 6 hours and never finish it.
Well, the thing is, going here, going into verse 33, this is foundational. This is. I mean, I'm glad you picked all these different verses out, David, but this one really stands up, particularly now, this day and this time. It's funny how different parts of Scripture, they seem to have their moment in history. When the world's going through certain things, a Scripture pops up. That's God. Hello! He's cupping his mighty hands, yelling it to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we need this so right now. My fear, I'm going to share this, one of my fears with me. I got a lot of them too. Because I have grandchildren,
yeah,
and I fear the world that they will be growing up and raising their children in. I see that as a scary, dark place. If people don't mobilize and get up and speak out and be a truth teller, like you just mentioned,
yeah,
we need truth tellers in every segment of the population. Churches is a great place to start. The churches. But we need it in legal, in medical, all the other professions need to stand up and speak the truth. When I see doctors on TV talking about gender dysphoria, as if it's a real diagnosis and as if they're going to make a change and make it better, I worry about the next generation or two. Because if you say it enough, people believe it as truth.
And I have to, what I'm prompted to say is, you know, and Barry talked about fears. We all have fears. I have fears. And that's, to be afraid of something is not a sin. But to not give it to God, but then to hang on to it until it morphs into anxiety and gets your gut flying like butterflies and stuff, and then you start spiraling down in anxiety, and friends, believe me, I have been there. The worst, you know, anxiety attacks and stuff, and it's horrible, painful. You think you're dying.
Yeah, you thought you were having a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, at that point, if you don't give it to God, and you then come under the slavery of that anxiety, that's the sin. There's a sin in that.
And it could alter the course of your ministries and your missions and everything else that you're excited about to do. You talk about giving it to God. I was praying one night for my family, not just my daughter and my grandchildren, but my extended family, that this is early on in my ministry. If they would just come to church and hear us talk about God, that they would probably turn their lives around. And God gave me kind of a knock on the head, and he said, "Hello, who do you think you are?" Don't you think that there's a church in their zip code? Don't you think I've talked to other people in the same position? And that was, for me, a prideful revelation. If I don't make these impacts on people, then it won't happen. Yep. And we've all felt that way, where you feel like God's called upon you, and he does, to bring the word and have it received. But there's other people being called to.
Absolutely. And that's where another awareness of which makes us, takes the anxiety away, is, again, the trusting God to be actually working on this.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bet people listening and they say, "Well, I'm anxious and, you know, I've prayed, I've asked God, I've lifted these things up to God." Well, you know, God's heard those prayers, you know, and we have to get off this idea that, well, I'm praying for it, but I really need to see God's answer. You know, like, okay, you probably will, but maybe not. But God's still hearing the prayers, you know, and he is responding in his own way, in his own time.
There you go, his own time.
As we always don't, we don't get that, I don't think.
No.
God has perfect timing, but it may take, there are some things, for instance, that were prophesied back, you know, that back in the, we read these in the Old Testament.
Right.
That are only reaching fruition today.
Yeah.
You know, and we probably, that'd be something we ought to touch on at some point.
Well, you think,
hone in on one of those.
Well, you think about the building of great cathedrals that took 4, 5, 6 generations to build. You know, the fellows who started, those poor fellows, they didn't see anything more than a couple of stones and on the property and maybe a wall, but that's as far as they got.
Yep.
You know?
And most attendees, you know, never saw the building without scaffolding around it.
Yeah.
You know, and generations, you know, until finally, you know, they finished the last bit of it.
Well, you know, as a group, mankind's got to be annoying. I would think, I love that line by J. Vernon McGee. I don't know why God just doesn't step on all of us like annoying little bugs.
Well, you know, if he didn't love us, but he does love us beyond any measure we can.
Well, Jesus says it right here in the scripture. You know, if the Lord's feeding birds, don't you think he's going to feed you? Come on.
Yeah.
But you know, it seems like our faith is, it wavers real strong and then a little flimsy and weak and back to being fragile and real strong. And David, when we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Amen.
Standing in the presence of the Lord.
Amen. And what, you know, we can count on is God's love, which is certainly is woven into this scripture. You know, if God did not love us, he wouldn't care if we were anxious or angry or starving or whatever. But I will say that there sometimes what God has to offer us, we really need to open up to receive. But if we don't want it, he's not going to force it on us.
No, he's not.
He's not. Even though you would think, well, if God really loved us, he would give that, you know, to us. And but there's a point when we have to ask. We have to make a commitment, a personal sense of, you know, I'm going to call it ownership, because, you know, that word comes to me that, you know, when I asked Jesus to come into my heart, I was taking ownership over the, well, for one thing, the grace imparted at baptism when I was baptized, and the God's desire for me. It's like, I don't want to say this and throw people off, but I think there's a kind of a sense of responsibility that God wants us to be responsible enough to say, God, I want this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want me to have it, but I do too, you know, and not just say, well, drop it on me. You know, just, well, just drop it on me, you know, just make it happen. And, you know, but I have to have an investment.
Right.
I really do. And God will, honestly, he won't force it on us.
I work with a woman who had two miscarriages back to back, and she was heartbroken. One of them carried almost a term. And there's a lot of praying, a lot of anger, but then a lot of praying. Her and her husband finally decided at one point just to stop trying. And she really worked on him to get some of the bitterness out of him. So he dragged him to church every week and got him into the scriptures. And at one point, he finally let the anger go. And I got to tell you, David, last year she gave birth to twins.
Oh, she did. Wow.
Twins.
Praise God.
So she got the two, as she puts it, she got the two kids back.
Yeah, yeah.
But it took a lot of prayer, intentional praying. And they needed to remove the bitterness and the anger from their hearts and just honestly reach up and say, God, that hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that you're going to take care of us. And it was a reconciliation is what it was between them and God. And he said, I've heard your prayers.
Yeah, and it gets us out of that kind of a small mindset, you know, where we come up with things that aren't true. Like some people I've talked to as a pastor, they've had a miscarriage, and they're really upset with God, you know. And in one case, you know, I said, I understood that. That was their first. And they really wanted, I said, I understand that. You have a heart for children. You want to have children. But, you know, the body does this. The body will sense that there's something wrong with that fetus, it's called spontaneous abortion. That's
right,
the only
right.
kind God allows. But it does happen, and it's grievous. It's something that we have to go through
right.
with other people supporting us. But there are so many other grievous things that happen to us. Mm-hmm. And if you're a believer, you have support, you have a community of faith, hopefully. You have your own personal relationship with Jesus, and he will, you know, lead you through that pain and suffering and into a place of peace. You know, but people that don't have Jesus, they're always, I mean, you know, well, God did it. I'm really angry with God.
Yeah.
And they don't have no clue, you know. And anyway, I probably should not go there.
Okay. Hey, do we have time for a prayer?
We do. Why don't you do that real quick? About 30 minutes, 30 seconds.
Let us pray. Oh, Holy Father, we come to you today, this morning and tonight, and we just come to you to the foot of your cross of your Son with a backpack full of worries, anxieties, things that are just bothering us, and we're dumping it now, this moment. We're dumping it all at the foot of the cross, Jesus. And we're going to be free now, free of all this anxiety, and move on with our life with you. For you are our Holy Father. You love us as a holy parent, and you don't want your children walking around with a belly full of worries. So, Lord, we thank you for your Son and this cross. We commit ourselves at this moment, this time, to not go back and pick up any of those things. Leave it there. I know you'll take care of it.
Yes, Jesus.
Holy Father, I offer up this prayer for peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Good night.
Good night. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.